Is this the end of the line for French President Emmanuel Macron? And are the nationalist populists poised to take over the entire nation of France? Well, according to a number of pundits, that is precisely what's happening. Impeachment articles have just been filed against Macron, and Marine Le Pen is waiting in the wings. Wait until you see what's happening right now in France. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot Professor, here to help you stay sane in these insane times. You know what to do. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. And gang, I don't know if you heard the news from our first two videos today, but we did it. Or better, you did it. My brand new book, Fight, How Trump and the MAGA Movement Are Changing the World, has just hit the top 10 in new political releases on Amazon. It gets better. We hit number one in new releases for comparative politics. And you made that happen. But gang, this is just the beginning. We just announced the book on Tuesday, so this is nothing. Together, we can show the powers that be that we, the people, are in charge. This is our country, and we're going to band together and make this new book about Trump and us, the MAGA movement, and how we're literally changing the world, the number one new release on Amazon. I mean, think about it. We got a golden opportunity here to stick it to the globalists and go straight to number one. Think about past all the woke crazies and DEI lunatics with a book about Trump, a book about the MAGA movement, a book about the rising new conservative age. So just click on that link in the description below or scan the QR code on the screen and order your copy right now. And let's make it to number one together. You ready for a little real life Game of Thrones? You need look no further than what's happening in France. It's absolutely amazing. France's parliament, their National Assembly, has just voted to approve articles of impeachment against Macron. Now, the motion to impeach was ironically introduced by the very political party that Macron just weeks ago helped achieve power. We covered this extensively on this channel over the summer, but at the end of June and the first week of July, France held their two rounds of national elections, okay? And what's so interesting is that because the elections were two rounds, it looked like the so-called far right, the nationalist populist right, a party known as National Rally, looked like they were going to win the elections in a blowout. They won by far the most seats in the first round of elections at the end of June. And they were poised to win a majority in the assembly in the second round at the beginning of July. But that's when the behind-the-scenes shenanigans started to play out. Macron convinced more than 200 of his party members, those who belong to the Renaissance Party, to actually drop out of the second round and turn around and endorse all the far-left candidates who were running so that they could team up and beat the so-called far-right candidate. And it worked. Macron successfully thwarted the right from coming to power. And he did it by instead ironically putting the far-left into power. Now, no party after that election, none of the parties got an outright majority in the French Assembly. So there has to be coalition building. And that's the job of the prime minister. And what this far-left party wanted Macron to do was appoint one of their own as prime minister. So if you don't know, the French president has the power to appoint the prime minister. But the problem is that the parliament can dissolve the parliament. They can dissolve the government that the prime minister puts together, the coalitions put together at any point. So the president has to appoint a prime minister that everybody likes when all is said and done. The problem is that if Macron appointed a far-left prime minister the way this new party that just came to power wanted him to do, that would mean the repealing of Macron's entire economic program. The far-left was promising to gut Macron's economic policies, which, of course, he doesn't want. So guess what Macron did? He turned around and he appointed a prime minister, I kid you not, a fellow by the name of Michel Barnier, who was acceptable to and actually supported by the so-called far right, by the National Rally Party. I mean, you cannot make this up. In order to thwart the rise of the right, he sides with the left. But in order to thwart the governance of the left, he sides with the right. And of course, in the process, he's making everybody ticked off. And that unhappiness is now coming in the form of an impeachment resolution against Macron. Now, just so you know, most commentators of French politics think the impeachment will have little chance of passing. Instead, it's obviously a political gesture that expresses not merely the volatility in French politics, but it expresses most particularly the reconfiguration of French politics, very much like what we're seeing here in the United States. What's so interesting with this prime minister appointment is that Macron may actually be signaling that while he won the election battle over the summer, he clearly has lost the war over France. And this is because this new prime minister, Barnier, is a total immigration hawk. He wants to close the borders and conduct mass deportations every bit as much as anyone on the so-called far right. And what both the far left and even members of Macron's own cabinet are freaking out over is that Macron has just, however inadvertently, he has basically made Marine Le Pen, the leader of National Rally, the de facto prime minister. In other words, Macron did everything he could to make sure that Le Pen and National Rally didn't take over parliament, only to turn around and appoint a prime minister whose policies are virtually identical with the party Macron did everything he could to defeat. But more than that, what every astute political observer is saying here is that Marine Le Pen herself recognizes that with Barnier as prime minister, nationalist populist policies end up becoming the law of the land, which will pave the way for her to win the presidency in 2027. Because what implementing so-called far-right policy at the national level ends up doing is it fosters a process that Marine Le Pen calls de-diabolization. It's also known as de-demonization. But it's a strategy that nationalist populist politicians have been implementing actually all over Europe. And what de-diabolization or de-demonization involves is basically an intentional normalization process taken by nationalist populist parties in Europe that seeks to bring their parties out of the political periphery, out of the political fringe, as it were, and into the mainstream. So one of the reasons why the legacy media and globalist politicians always use this term, far right, is to stigmatize these nationalist populist parties. It's to create this perception that they're all radical, that they're all extreme. When in point of fact, they're just MAGA parties, or better, mega parties, right? Make Europe great again. But these are deliberate attempts to stigmatize these parties as extreme and radical and racist and xenophobic and the like. And so what nationalist populist leaders have been doing is they're employing a number of tactics and strategies to garner the trust and confidence of the people. And the results have been breathtaking. They've been breathtaking. I could still remember seeing Giorgia Meloni speak in Verona back in 2019 at the World Congress of Families, where I was speaking there. And I mean, this is back when her party, the Brothers of Italy, were a peripheral party. They were literally getting like 3-5% in the polls. That's about it. But in just 3 or 4 years, largely through this process of de-diabolization, the Brothers of Italy surged to being the number one party of the nation today. And right now, Giorgia Meloni is Italy's prime minister and the single most popular prime minister in all of Europe to boot. So I've seen de-diabolization in action here. And that is what these more astute political commentators are noticing is the real effect coming from Macron's decision to appoint a prime minister who's more aligned with the nationalist populist right. By implementing their policies, Macron's appointee will only further de-diabolize the so-called far right that Macron's been fighting and all but guarantee their victory in the next presidential election, like we've seen time and time again throughout Europe. However, there is one more hurdle here, particularly for Le Pen. I told you this is Game of Thrones stuff. If she allies herself with Macron by way of his prime minister appointment, what does she risk? Well, now she risks being identified with the establishment, right? Because that's precisely what the far left is now saying. They're in effect saying, see, we told you, you see, the national rally, the so-called far right, they've got no problem selling out and aligning themselves with the establishment if they're given the power to do it. We're the true revolutionaries. We're the true rebels against the establishment. That's what France's far left is saying right now. So Le Pen is already openly saying that while she welcomes this prime minister appointment, it's only temporary. She doubts he'll be around for more than a year because that's when she would start making some moves to increase her political capital in parliament, capitalizing on a year of de-diabolization. And she has that power precisely because, as I mentioned, no party won an outright majority. And so Le Pen can withdraw her support from the prime minister and basically dissolve the government anytime she wants. So this is going to be very, very interesting as to whether this really is Marine Le Pen's moment. It does look like things are aligning in such a way for France's national right to finally take power, which will be a major step in the ongoing reconfiguration of Europe around the rising dominance of the nationalist populist right.